Today's daf in Masechet Yuma brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadesh. Amazing miracles is daf Tet Vav. And we had gotten up to, we went through our whole discussion about the problems in the Seder over here of the Mishnayos, in which we seem to be bouncing back and forth between different approaches to the order of the Keteres versus the Neiros. So we took one approach. Initial approach, we thought we would just be mechalek between Masechet Midot and Masechet Yoma. So we were trying to say it's very simple. The difference was between Abba Shaul's approach, Alibad Abba Shaul, which we say every day in Abaye, and the Rabbanan's approach. But then the Gemara pointed out, now we've got the same problem in Seder Yoma itself, because we've got our Mishnah with the Kohen, who is the Kohen Gadol during the 7 days of the Prisha, where it says he's going to be doing the Keteres followed by the Neiros. And then later on, we talk about the pious, we do the Neiros followed by the Keteres. So we can't give the simple answer that the two Mesechets are different. So how exactly are we going to answer that? Okay, so Abaye, we'll talk about, yesterday we did Abaye's approach. And we're talking about the difference between the first two and the first five and the last two. So obviously it's all relative to which one of the Neiros you're talking about. If you're talking about the last two Neiros, then the Keteres comes first because you put the Keteres between. If you're talking about the first two, then you put the Keteres after. Keep doing that, sorry. The first five, then you put the Keteres afterwards, because the menorah comes first. And that would mean that we would be splitting up the hadlaka with the Keteres. Rav Papa says, we don't have to say that. I mean, basically, we could be talking about the same Neiros. We wouldn't have to change the Neiros. All we would have to say is that our Mishnah, where we have the Keteres followed by the Neiros, is going Aliba the Rabbana. And the other Mishnah later on, in the second parak, which has the menorah first, that's going Aliba da Abba Shaul. So, in other words, maybe both of them are talking about exactly the same two Neiros, because, I mean, why would we change our reference points? And we put, in both cases, the same one, and yet our Mishnah is talking about putting the Keteres before, because it holds that the Keteres is what we use to be mechalik between the first five and the last two. Masha Enkin, the Mishnah in the second parak, is going Aliba da Abba Shaul, and as we saw yesterday, Abba Shaul was medayik from the Pasuk, that we should finish up all of the Neiros, including the last two, and only then we should do the Keteres, and that in being able to be mechalik the first five from the last two, that was done with the Zrikas Dam of the tummy. Okay, says the Gemara, fine. So what are you saying? That our Mishnah is going according to the Rabbanan, right? And the pious, which is the Mishnah in the second parak, is going Aliba to Abba Shaul, because that over there, the Menorah in the Seder of the pious came before the special pious that we did for Chadashim Lektores Bo V'Hafisu. The problem is that you're not taking into consideration yet another Mishnah in Masechet Yuma. And this Mishnah is in the third parak. And this Mishnah says, Ema Seifa. So basically, Rashi points out that we're basically saying that the entire Masechet Yoma is one Mishnah. Why? Because it's constructed around an analysis of the Psukim in Acharei Mos, as we'll see, trying to explain what the order of the Aveda was. And therefore, we call this the Seifa of that Mishnah, even though it's a different prokim. So the end of our Mishnah, which is in the next parak, that says, hey, viulo et atamid. So here we're talking about the actual Aveda, on Yom HaKippurim. They brought the Korban Tamid to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol does not complete the Shechita as he normally would to cut all the way through. He just cuts rove of the simoni, which is called kiratso. Kiratso means like a surgeon makes his first incision. So the year also means, obviously, it's enough to be makshir, but it's koratzo. And then somebody else does the rest of it. So he does basically rov, which is the, yeah, he has to do rov, you see, because all of the avodas Yom Kippurim is enak shera elabo. So he's got no choice, but remember, he's in sort of a pickle, because he has to do both the shechita and the kabbalas hadam, and he's got to do it with the same hand. So how are you going to do that? So basically what he does is he makes a instantaneous incision, which takes him, let's say, a tenth of a second. Another coin takes over the knife and then completes the full shechita, even though it's already kosher. Meanwhile, he grabs the kos to be makabel the dam. And then by the time the dam starts flowing, another tenth of a second later, so he's ready with that kos. Okay, so that means he's going to be doing both of those things. Then he goes into Mimakta the Keteris. Now note the order. He goes into Mimakta the Keteris and to be Meiti of the Neiros. So, I mean, that means, look, everybody's made of that. The Chomesh Neiros, for sure, has to be before the Keteris, right? So it must be that when it says over here that he's Meiti Vesaneiros after the Keteris, there's nobody that holds that that would be somehow that it's possible that he first did the Keteris and then he did the Chomesh Neiros, because then there would be nothing left to be splitting up the first five from the last two. So this has got to be talking about the last two, okay? So then that means you've got, according to you, Rav Papa, you've got the Mishnayos all talking about the same Neiros, and they keep flipping back and forth between Avashol and Rabbanan. This is normal to you? We start off with the first mission that we just had, when that's going Aliba de Rabbana, because you say it's talking about the last two Neiros, okay. And then you have to talk about the last Mishnah, which also has got to be going Aliba de Rabbana, because you're saying that he was had the Keteris in between the two sets of Neiros, and he did not have the Dam HaTamid in between the two sets of Neiros. So then you said that the middle Mishnah, the only way you understood the middle Mishnah, which you claimed was also talking about the last two Neiros, and that was going Gufa Aliba da Abashol, you said. I mean, come on. If this is all basically one Mishnah describing the way that the Aveda is done in Yom Kippur, does it really make sense to you that we're like flipping between different Shitas? First Rabbanan, who hold that we put the Keteris in between the five Neiros and the two Neiros. Then Abashol, who says we put the Dam HaTamid between them, and only after the two Neiros do we do the Keteris. And then you go back again in the Mishnah in the third Perek to go according to the Rabbanan, who say that we put the Keteris before the two Neiros. This is an awfully strange way of going in first Perek Rabbanan, second Perek Avashol, and third Perek Rabbanan. How do you explain that? I don't think it's reasonable. Amalachar of Papa. Well, I insist that that's the reality, and we're going to talk about it in a moment why he would insist that. But yes, absolutely. I hold that the first Perek and the last Perek is Rabbanan, and the middle Perek is going to Abashal. Well, I sure understand why Abaya didn't want to say that shot, because it's weird. I mean, Abaya was saying, look, everything works out fine, according to me. The difference is which Neiros we're talking about. I mean, that makes perfectly good sense. I certainly don't want to say, like, Rav Papa. So Bishlam Abaya lo amarik Rav Papa, because he holds that it's never done this way. Reisha v'sefer Rabbanan, mitzias Abashol, that doesn't add up to him. Lo mukimla. But why would Rav Papa have anything against doing it like Abaye? All you need to do is say that we're talking about different Neiros. Sometimes we're talking about the first Neiros, and sometimes we're talking about the last two Neiros, and then everything would be great. Omar Lach, Rav Papa, says, I'll tell you why. Because in order to do that, you have no choice but to say that our Mishnah in the first Perek was referring to the last two Neiros, right? Because the Keteris has to come before. Okay, so we start talking, in the beginning of the Masechet, we start talking about the last two Neiros. And then when we go and start talking on Daf Chaf Hei, where we're talking about the pious, then we talk about the first five Neiros? Does it make sense to you that we're going backwards? Why would we do that? I think that it's much more unreasonable to say that in the idea of Seder Yuma, I mean, which is basically what we refer to, this big Mishnah, we refer to this as Seder Yuma. So in Seder Yuma, we go absolutely in disorder. We start with the last two, and then in the second part, we go back to the first five. That doesn't add up to me at all. I would rather have the Seder correct and have the different shitas being presented. That's what I hold. Whereas Abaye says something very brilliant and actually very beautiful. Abaye says, look, the first Mishnah, this is the whole point. The first Perek is not talking about Seder Yuma at all. The first pasuk is talking. First parak is talking about the Shivas Yomim Kedem LeYom HaKippurim, right? Now, as Tosis points out, when it says that the Kohen Gadol did the Tamid and the Rosh and the Regal, and he did the Keteres and he did the Neiros, tell me something. Which Neiros did the Kohen Gadol do during the Shivas Yomim? He only did the last two. So why would we talk about the first five? We're not talking about Seder Yuma at all. We're talking about the things that the Kohen Gadol did to practice. What does that have to do with going? What do you mean going back? I'm not going back. I'm talking about a completely different day and a completely different issue. So what are you confusing the issues for? Over here, Eruye Be'amo Hu Dekomori. What are we doing over here? The Tana is just telling you in general, during the Shivas Yomim of the Prisha, these are the things that were done. I'm not coming to teach you the Seder Hayom at all. The Seder Haveda, which we're calling Seder Yuma, that only comes in the Perek Sheni and the Perek Shlishi. So over there, we indeed go back in perfectly good order, because the way I'm learning it, the second Perek talks about the first five Neiros, and the third Perek talks about the last two Neiros. So it's absolutely perfect. Why in the world would you start flipping around the Mandi Amar when there was nothing there that was Mechai of you to claim that it was all in the same Seder? So therefore, get a broader perspective of the Masechet. The Masechet is talking about the actual breaking it up between the Prisha and all the elements of Prisha, which we're obviously in the middle of, and then the actual Avodas Yom HaKippurim and Seder Yuma, which we then go through step by step, the second parak referring to the first part, and the third parak referring to the second part. I think it's great. Okay, now, that sort of gives us a clear approach between Rav Papa and Abaye. We now have a clear sense of the different approaches of Abba Shaul and the Chachomim, the Seder of the Aveda, and the clarity of what is involved in the determination of whether we're supposed to be using the Dam HaTamid as that which makes the moment between the first five Neiros and the second, or whether we can use the Keteres, and we took a look at the Pesukim, and we understood the difference between the Pesuk speaking about in the morning the Hatovas HaNeiros, or speaking about the Sidur of the Hadlokas HaNeiros in the evening, the use of the word Oto, which means that there's is Bedavka telling me we cannot do anything after the Hadlakas HaNeiros, and so on and so forth, which everybody was made of from. We're really starting to get a very clear sense of where the Aveda starts getting interesting in these two elements that the Kohen Gadol has to do between the Keteres and the Menorah. Now, so let's take a look at the actual, once we already mentioned the nature of the pious and what it was that the Kohen had to do. So let's take a look at the Brisa. The Brisa says like this. It says, Bala l'keren mizrachit tzvonit, noten mizrachit tzvonit. We had this machlokas, we brought it up, agav, because we wanted to see the shita of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. But let's really get into it, because, I mean, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah was sure saying something strange, right? I mean, he was saying that we're going to somehow or other do a weird kind of Zrikas Hadam on an Oila, which normally we simply do in Shnayim Shein Arba, which means we go to the two diagonals of the Mizbeach, where there is a Yesod at the corner, and we make sure that the dam gets on both sides of the diagonal, which allows us to cover basically all four walls of the Mizbeach at a corner where the dam is going to go down to the Yesod on either side, which is great. And that basically defined everything for us, because there are only two such corners. So we had to go all the way up. When we first came, we had to go all the way up to the north side towards the east. And then we had to go all the way down towards the south side towards the west. Those are the two corners that actually have a yisod. But Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah claims that when it came to the Tamid, we treat it differently than we treat other Karbanas Eila. And we really need to get a better handle on where he would get such an idea from. So Gufa, let's go through it again. The Kohen who was, there it's talking about the pious, he was the one that was Zeicha to be Zerik the Dam of the Tamid. So he gets to the Keren Mizrachit Tzvonit. When we say he gets to, I mean, why doesn't he just walk over there? What does it mean he gets to? Gets to means he's been walking around the Mizbeach. Now, I understand if you have to go up the Kevesh, of course. You only have one way to go up the Kevesh, and that is on the southern side of the Mizbeach. But what we're talking about over here on the Korban Eila, remember the old way we remember it, right? Ayin Ayin, Olat Of is Eila, goes up. Meaning the Dam of the Eila Sa'of goes up. That's all you need to remember. Everything else is the opposite. The Eila's Behema, the Dam is put on the bottom of the Mizbeach. The Chatas Ha'of is the opposite of the Eila Sa'of, and it's put on the bottom. The Chatas Behema is the opposite of the Eila's Behema, and it's put on top. So all you need to do is remember that one thing, Ayin, Ayin, Ayin. And then you got it all. So, you'll ask, if that's the case, when the guy, the Kohen over here was selected, is going to be doing the Zrikas Adam of the Eila, why doesn't he just walk over from wherever he is? Walk over, he's on the Tzofen in the Mizbeach, just walk straight on over to the Tzofen Mizrach side. What do you mean, Bolo? Why does he have to go around in circles? So in other words, what we view the Kevesh as defining is the gateway to the Mizbeach. Now, I don't care whether logistically you're going to the top and therefore, well, you better climb up the Kevesh because how else are you going to get there? I'm talking about your approach. Your approach to the Mizbeach is always from the Doring. And that's called the Pnei HaMizbeach, even if you're walking along the ground with the Kevesh to your left. So then you would still be coming to that point and you'd be walking around to your right facing the Mizbeach until you get to that corner which is on the northern side. You started on the southern side, it's on the northern side, and since you turned right, it's on the east. Okay, so fine. I understand, your note to Mizrach is Tzvonis, you then walk all the way around, get down to the south while you've been walking along the western side, which means you're still going to your right if you were facing the Mizbeach while you're moving around. You're always moving to your right, and we'll see that that's important later. And it says in the Braita, the Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah says, no, when it comes to the Tamid, he's Mishaneh B'Tamid, and he says that the Dam was really given in a weird way, which means that, yes, I agree with you, that Bolo L'Keren Mizrachit Tzvonit, indeed. He's Noten Mizrachit Tzvonit, yes. But then when he gets to the Ma'aravit Romit, so far we're on the same page, but as soon as he gets to the Ma'aravit Romit, now we diverge, because I said that first he zorek the dam on the tzad maravi, not on the edge. And then he turns to the tzad dorom and he puts a separate zrika on the tzad dorom, which means that there's a total of three zrikas, one a diagonal like a normal eila, and one is split into two. So where would he get such a thing from? My time at the Rebbe Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. Omer Rebbe Yochanan, well, I heard from somebody who learned by Rabbi Yanai, Chadavei Rabbi Yanai, that he's medayek it from the din of Rosh Chodesh. In the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, we have a very strange pasuk. It says over there, Seir izim echad l'chatat la'Hashem, al olat ha-tamid yaseh v'nisko. Now, what do you mean, al olat ha-tamid? I mean, normally when we're talking about the Musafim, we say milvad olat ha-tamid. If we need to mention it at all, you know, if it's quite clear that that's talking about the Musaf, that's the whole point. Well, what is this Alolat HaTamid? Therefore, I say what the Pasuk is saying is, well, this may be an Olat HaTamid, true, but you better put a Chatas on it. So Chatat LaHashem, throw the Chatas on the Olat HaTamid, which means that you're supposed to do Maisa that you would be doing on a Chatas, and on a Chatas, obviously, each one of the matanais on each side is separate. Has to be, because you don't throw it. You use your finger to put it on the Mizbeach, so There's no way that you can do a single act that will hit both sides of the Mizbeach when it comes to a Chatas. So over there you have four separate Matanas, right? So if I'm supposed to act out the Chatas onto the Ola, so then that would mean that I treat it partially Ola-like and partially Chatas-like. Therefore, the first one I do with the normal Zrika at the corner, in the diagonal sense, covering two sides of Mizbeach at one time, namely the eastern side and the northern side. But then when I move along the western side and come to the south, I have to do it separately, because the Torah says, do a Maisa of a Chatas. So what would that mean? HaKetzad. The only way I can interpret it, says Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, is first treat it like an Oila. So note nachachi shtaim kemaase Ola, which that would be the normal thing you would do. You would use the diagonal to create a double splatter, so to speak, just from one zrika. And then when you come to the next corner, do shtaim sheim shtaim. Then do a full two separate zrikas hadam, which is similar to a maisechatas. That's where he gets it from. Well, I mean, there's certainly other ways of understanding the pasuk, aren't there? I mean, maybe what he should do is that he should do the full dam of an oila. So he should go around the mizbeach, and he should do two times at the once at this normal place on the corner of the northeast, and one time, which is shtaim, which is echad shu shtaim. And then come to the next corner, which is the southwest, and again, do another two, which are Echad Shu Shtaim. Put it together, and you got Shtaim Sheim Arba. Like a standard Oila. Then go around again, and do a full Maisa Chatas, and take, at each corner, do two separate Zrikas. Nah, come on, whoever heard of such a thing? Lo matzinu damim shemechaprim v'chozrinu mechaprim. I mean, you can't complete the full Avodas Hadam and then use what are essentially Shirayim to do another application. I mean, there's no such thing as making two separate inyanim of a kapara. Well, I understand. And what you're saying is just as weird, isn't it? V'chi matzinu damim shechetzon chatas v'chetzon oila. I mean, show me another place where I do something crazy like what you're saying. I mean, what are you going to tell me? Okay, you may think it's crazy. Well, God doesn't think it's crazy. Who knows better? Okay, so you're going to tell me, Al Korchan, look, what am I supposed to do? The Torah says to treat it like a chatas. I treat it like a chatas. That's what I'm telling you. Why are you so sure that your approach to what the Torah is trying to tell you is true? And I'm crazy. I mean, I could say exactly the same thing. Well, what am I supposed to do? The Torah says, treat it like a chatas. So you treat it like a chatas. You got to go around and put on four separate matanes. And at the same time, it's an oila. So I'll say the same thing. Hakanami, Baal Korchani Kishan HaKosim. I'll tell you, it looks crazy to you, but it doesn't look crazy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, come on. It's very different. I mean, what it was that Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah said is that it's not that you're really treating an oila like a chatas. That's unheard of. The question over here, it's just giving you the logistics of how you're supposed to do the Zrika, whether it's in the Pisuk, the separation, the way that it is on the Chatas, or whether it's together. But, I mean, it's the same idea. It's a Zrika on both of those sides. We're not doing anything that's a complete like deviation from the whole halacha. We're just understanding differently how we get the dam on the two sides. Mashenkin, what you're saying is like something that is completely unheard of. And you're telling me I'm going to be doing a dam chatas on an oila. That's impossible. Okay, so I got another issue. I mean, once you're telling me that I'm supposed to be treating it like a carbon chatas, where's a carbon chatas? Where's the dam put? On the top of the mizbeach, by the koronot. The opposite of on the bottom of the mizbeach, on the corner near the Asod. So why don't I do the first Achashishtaim that I should do Lamata, which is the way that I treat the Dama Eila, and then the last two, I should actually have to do Shtaim, Shem Shtaim, that those two, I should do Lamala, because you said I'm supposed to do it like a Chatas. So how come we do like a Chatas in the wrong place? No, because the same thing. Where do we ever find Dam that is partially Lamala and partially Lamata? That's unheard of. Well, I understand. What's so unheard of it? Doesn't it say Beferish in the Mishnah later that when the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, he goes in and he has to be Zurich the Dam towards the kaporas. So he aims towards the thickness of the kaporas, which is very small. And it says, this is what we think it means anyway, that he's a mimenu, achas l'mala v'sheva l'mata. So, I mean, all you've got over here is a very thin one tefach. I mean, so how are you going to do some of it l'mala, some of it l'mata? Must mean that some go on the bottom half as I'm going to the top half of that tefach. That's what it seems to be saying, which means that we are doing achas l'mala v'sheva l'mata, because you're facing the edge of the kaporas that's on top of the orin. He says, no, that's not what it means at all. You are actually not even interested in getting any dam. You don't put the dam on the kaporas itself. You are merely being zorate the dam towards the kapora, like a matzlif. What's a matzlif? Like a spritzer. What does that mean? Machvi Rabbi Yehuda kiminagdana. Basically, what you do is, there's big machlokas on how to understand exactly what that means. So what Rashi seems told is like this, that what you do, what we're talking about over here is we're comparing it to somebody who is giving malchus in Bezdin. That's a minagdana. So what does he do? So this thing, remember the sugya in Sanhedrin, he never hits the same place twice. He doesn't want to break open the skin of the person getting the malchus. So he's moving once, and then he goes down, and then he goes down, right? So there's some of the malchus goes towards the front, and some of the malchus goes towards the back, but it's always moving down below the area that he had hit before. And when the Torah says lamala lamata, that doesn't mean above a point and below a point. It means that the movement is such, it's not even going towards the kaporas, it's going on the floor. The movement is such that it's going first further away, then a little bit closer, then a little bit closer to where he's standing, and it has nothing to do with the place in which it goes at all. So that's all that it means. So the difference between lamala and lamata was in terms of where he's aiming, and the word lamala and lamata, we'll see later on, refers to how the Kohen's hand is pointing. So where his hand, the back of his hands, the gav yado, is lamata, that's where he's getting closer and closer to himself. Where it's lamala, that's the gav of yado is lamala, that's where he's far away from himself. But it has nothing to do with lamala and lamata on the actual kaporas. Okay, fine. So let's say it, but that's how Rashi learns it. We'll see the Aruch argues. He holds it was all actually put in the same place, but with your hand making a different movement, even to going upwards, going downwards. Okay. But we'll just learn it like Rashi for now. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. You're right that we did not want to hit the Kaporas, but we did want to hit the Mizbeach Hazav, didn't we? And in the Mizbeach HaZahav, now Tosfos understands this to be very straightforward. In the Mizbeach HaZahav, we first put Matanot Dam, four Matanot Dam on the Kronot HaMizbeach of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and then we put seven on the actual top of the Mizbeach. So therefore, Tosfos understood. So, okay, so what that means is that the ones that are being given on the Kronos are on top. And the one that is Tiarosh al Mizbeach would mean towards the bottom of the Mizbeach, right? I mean, I'm assuming that's what Taro means. And it says in the Mishnah, Hizami menu al Tahorosh al Mizbeach Sheva Pa'amim. So what exactly was Taro is a weird way to say something, but we do use that word when we're talking about noon. Noon is we called, like we saw, we talked about in Pesachim, right? Tiare. So we're talking about over there, the midpoint. So if it's the midpoint, so then, I mean, you're not going to get exactly on the midpoint. So some of that dam is going to be going beneath. According to Tosfos, it just means that that point is not on top. It's midpoint, so it's below. So we have some lamata, some lamala. According to Rashi, if you're trying to hit a middle point, then you're going to be always, some of it's going to go a little bit on top, and some of it's going to go a little bit on the bottom. That's the meaning. Okay, but whatever, it must mean in the middle point. Like people say, Tar, Tiara, it's midday, which is Pauga de Yuma. And that's exactly at noon. So then it must be Mixas Lamala, Mixas Lamata. Omer Rabba Bar Shiel, that's not what it means. It means exactly what it says. It means that you put it on the top of the Mizbeach, not towards the side of the Mizbeach. And the reason that we used Tiare is because it says Ke'etzma Shamayim L'Tohar. Tiare means simply the cleaned off Mizbeach. So you're at the cleaned off top of the Mizbeach. So first, wipe off all the ashes of the Keteres that was on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Then you've got a clean surface to do the Zrika. That's all that it means, in which case it was all Lamala, and there was no issue at all. Okay, fine. But another question I do have on the drasha of Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah is, why does he say, first we do Shtayim Shem Echad on the one which is on the northeast, and then we do Shtayim Shem Shtayim on the one which is the southwest? I mean, maybe Mishna, do you have first the Ola standard and then the Chatas standard? Maybe what the Torah is saying is to first do the Chatas, meaning to do two, which are two, and then do the last one as one, and to do it at like an Ola, at the edge, which then would cover those two Tzidei HaMizbeach, this Doraim and the Maharav. Says the Gemara, well, it's an Ola, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole point. It's just that we're saying to treat this Ola in a way that resembles the Chatas. So since it's an Ola, it makes sense to do the Ola thing first, because that's its primary Aveda. So we'll do the Ola first. So he got Mabereshah. Okay, so let me ask you something. The Chlal, when we do the Olas HaTomi, why do we go first to Mizrachis Tzvonis and then to Maharavis Dromis? Can't we do Dromis Mizrachis? I mean, why don't we go to the first corner that we get to? First corner that we get to is the southeast. And then we should go on and go to the northwest. What's wrong with the southeast? Why do we go right past the southeast corner, start on the northeast corner, when we should do, I mean, you're not supposed to be mevatel mitzvahs, right? Ein mavir nala mitzvahs. So go to the first corner and do the zrikas adam there. Nah, you can't do it there. Because since the din of the Eilat says, oh, you said on Mizbeach, and it's Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah, it's the Eilat, which is the essence of the Yisod. So that means that since the Eila is Tuna Yisod, and as we know, the Karen Dromit Mizrachit did not have a Yisod at all, because as we explained before, it was not Bechelko Shel Toreif, and that was the part that Yehuda had grabbed, and the Mizbeach cannot be a Mizbeach in Chelko Shel Yehuda. That's why that's such a joy to see when you travel now on the highway. Every time you cross the border between the Yehuda and Binyamin, they have this beautiful sculpture of a howling wolf. And then the sign says, you're entering Binyamin. It's like, wow, it's so amazing. What a difference from entering Orange County. Yeah.
There used to be a sign next to Tellstone that you were now crossing the border, but I don't see it anymore. When Rebbe was in Tellstone, there was, you're now entering.
Yeah, but this is a new thing. These are they replaced all of those signs with a wolf, a red wolf. That's Mamaramis to the Dom. So it's completely red. That's ingenious. I don't know who comes up with these things, but it's really wonderful. Every time I see it, I always start to cry. It's so beautiful. Okay, so now we understand why we have to do we have to skip over that one. Okay, so let me ask you something else. I mean, I agree. We only have these two corners, but why start first at the corner on Mizrachis Tzvonis and then get to Maharavis Dromis? Why not go first to the one that is closest to the Heichal? So go first to the Maharavit Dromit and then walk around and then go to the Mizrachit Tzvonit instead of the order that you're doing it. I mean, look, You're anyway at that side, right? Because you're coming from the south. So if you're coming from the south, if you turn right, then you've got all the way around. You have to walk because you don't have your sod towards your right until you get all the way to the far corner in the northeast. But if you would just turn left, why, you would be there immediately. You would just walk straight up to Mizbeach, make a left, and then you are at the southwest corner, which has a yesod. So just start there. Doesn't that make more sense? And then you can walk around to the Mizrahi Tzfoni. Ah, that's a different issue. That's because you're not allowed to turn left. You're only allowed to turn right. Because since, Kivan Diomar Mar, Kol Pinot Shatapone, Lo Yehu Ela Derech Yamin, and in the context, which when this was said, it was said, Benogea the Mizbeach, and therefore we add the word Lemizrach, but that does not really appear in the Iker idea. It happens to be that if you turn right, as you're on the southern side of the Mizbeach, obviously you're heading towards the east, because the Pnei HaMizbeach is the Dorah. But the Halach of Kol Pinot Shatapone, Lo Yehu Ela Derech Yamin, is nothing to do with what direction of Mizrach Tzfon is or anything else. It just means that when you are facing a turn, doesn't mean you're not allowed to turn left. Obviously, if you have to turn left on the highway, you turn left, not right. But what it means is, if you're going around something, so then when you're going around, imagine that you are facing it and that you are moving towards your right at all times. And that we learned out from the way that the Torah, the Navi, describes in Yechezkel, the Yam Shel Shlomo, and he moves around the Yam Shel Shlomo the same way that the Kohen moves around the Mizbeach over here. So from there we understand that our perspective is meant to be heading towards our right. So therefore, the first thing that you would find if you're going around the Mizbeach would be the northeast, because the one that's on the southeast doesn't have a yesod. You got no choice. Okay, one last question that I would like to have on Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. How do you know that the Torah is saying to treat the Eila like a chatas? I mean, maybe what it's really saying is that the chatas of Rosh Chodesh should be treated like an Eila. So, Dioma b'chatas utakam harachmana avid b'maisa Eila. Because, I mean, what it's doing is, it's saying chatat la'ashem alolat. So, I mean, isn't that just putting together chatas and Eila? No. I mean, read the pasuk. Al olat hatamid yeaseh. What does that mean? It means throw it on top of it. Maikam rachmana. Take the chatas and throw it on the oila. Not take the oila and throw it on the chatas. So then that means that we're talking about the oila, which remains primarily an oila, and we're saying put a little bit of the chatas onto that oila, which is just the pisuk itself of the direction.